All right, we're back, and it's Gospel for the Glory of Jesus, and I'm so glad to be able to come to you with God's Word and His Spirit in my heart, just to let you know that I love you, and what agape love is, agape, it means I just love you, even though I don't know you, I have never seen you, but because God, He tells me that's my job, that's what I'm supposed to do. But you know what? After a while, you do it because you just have it in your heart because He places it there. So I'm thankful for you. Today, we're going to want to talk about something that the Temptations talked about a long time ago from Motown. And it's called a ball of confusion. And that's what this world is. That's what the world is today. Hey, hey. Well, we're going to pray first. Lord God, we thank you for who you are, what you're doing in the world. Lord, you're letting us see things that we've never seen before. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our president. We pray for our leadership, those who are servanthood leaders. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do through them when we don't even understand sometimes what's going on. So, Lord, just bless us today. Let us be tolerant, loving, and seek your understanding in everything. And thank you for this opportunity. Help me, Lord, in the upbuilding of your kingdom and not my own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, today I want to go through a book that the Jews usually read at least once a year. And it's doing one of their feast days. And it is a book that probably was not designed, or they didn't think it was going to be placed in the Bible, because it says things that don't always match up with the way we feel as supposed believers in the world today. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. And the people know it about with the poem Time. It's a time to do this and time to do that. But the book is full of all types of observations by a man who had the money to do it, named Solomon. They call him Ecclesiastes, but a better description of his name would be the philosopher. I think in Hebrew it's Koheleth. So he's David's son, and he's discusses a lot of the things that David discussed with him as his father when he was a youth. And it's a book that helps us to understand the world, the cosmos, the cosmology of the world. So today I want to talk about this ball of confusion that keeps a lot of us Christians from understanding what's going on. I'm going to read something to you, and because I want to give credit where credit is due. But in my Good News Bible, there's an introduction to Ecclesiastes, and I want you to hear what it says. It says this, it says, "The book of Ecclesiastes contains the thoughts of the philosopher, a man who reflected deeply on how short and contradictory human life is, with its mysterious injustices and frustrations, and concluded that life is useless. He could not understand the ways of God who controls human destiny. Yet, in spite of this, he advised people to work hard and to enjoy the gifts of God as much and as long as they could. Many of the philosopher's thoughts appeared negative and even depressing. But the fact that this book is in the Bible shows that biblical faith is broad enough to take into account such pessimism and doubt. Many have taken comfort in seeing themselves in the mirror of Ecclesiastes and have discovered that the same Bible which reflects these thoughts also offers the hope in God that gives life its greatest meaning." what he endeavored to find out is, what is the purpose of life? I asked that question growing up from the age of 12 up until, what is it, 45. And that 45 was when I started thinking about eternity in regards to thinking about my body, because my body started acting crazy at 45. I couldn't run 100 miles and 100 miles anymore. I could only run one. Okay, y'all, don't get me because you're thinking I'm too exaggerate too much. But yeah, you know, you start your mortality makes you start thinking about life in a more serious way. And then at 50 is when I discovered that I had to give God my whole life. I said, here I am, a half a century old, and I don't want to miss what God has for me. So I said, I better, you know, some parts of my life I was just holding on to for myself, you know. I was giving him 95%, but I had 5% over in the corner that I enjoyed. So that's when I decided to just give him everything and to pursue him with a passion and a depth that I had never done before. Usually because at that time, in those days, I was fighting just to survive, just, you know, but at 50, I was pretty much in a point position where I could work on my education again. Went back and finished up a couple of degrees and got an extra one just to make sure. So, and that's not to brag, that's just to say I thank God, because he had a greater dream for me than I did for myself. I'm going to go to verse chapter 1 and verse 2. We've already talked about the intro, and he's talking about the philosopher, David's son, who was king in Jerusalem. Verse 2 says, it is useless, useless, said the philosopher. This is Good News Bible. Life is useless. I think in yours, if you got a King Jimmy, a King James, or most of them, it says life is vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. Here it's talking about life is useless, all useless. Three, you spend your life working, laboring, and what do you have to show for it? Generations come and generations go, but the world stays just the same. It's a ball of confusion. Five, the sun still rises and it still goes down, going wearily back to where it must start all over again. Verse 6, the wind blows south, the wind blows north, round and round and back again. 7, every river flows into the sea, but the sea is not yet full. How's that? I don't know about that now with climate change. The water returns to where the rivers began and starts all over again. 8, everything leads to weariness. A weariness too great for words. Our eyes can never see enough to be satisfied. Our eyes can never hear enough. I know some people, their mouths can never talk enough. Anyway, 9, what has happened before will happen again. What has been done before will be done again. There is nothing new in the whole world. 10, look, they say. Look, here is something new. But no, it has all happened before. Long before we were born. No one remembers what has happened in the past. And no one in days to come will remember what happens between now and then. Wow. You know, I'm just going to give you a little smorgasbord, a little bit of a buffet today, because I want you to read this book. This is a neglected book, I think. And as a child, I read it, you know, so many times. And I didn't understand it, but I was one of those who was, like it says right here, like David's son Solomon was saying, in verse 16, I told myself, I have become a great man, far wiser than anyone who ruled Jerusalem before me. I know what wisdom and knowledge really are. That's what I thought it, when I was at Howard University. Oh, yes, I know everything now. 17, I was determined to learn the difference between knowledge and foolishness, wisdom and madness, but I found out that I might as well be chasing the wind. The wiser you are, the more worries you have, the more you know, the more it hurts. But you know what? Somebody came along by the name of Jesus, and he changed a lot of things around. He showed us and tried to let us know that sin had destroyed the world. The clock started where sin started to take its toll on the world. And in doing that, has brought everyone to a knowledge of understanding that, wow, it seems as though living and trying to be a good person, isn't that what we're all called to do? Well, Ecclesiastes kind of says that a little bit. He says to, eventually it says to enjoy your life, enjoy your wife, enjoy your youth. But he says, remember, one day you're going to have to see the Lord. You're going to have to talk to God. It says here, he says this in chapter 11, verse 7. He says, it is good to be able to enjoy the pleasant light of day. Be grateful for every year you live. No matter how long you live, remember that you will be dead much longer. There's nothing at all to look forward to. Well, I disagree with that now because of Christ. He has changed things. There is a change that did come. You have a choice now. And when you say dead much longer, the Lord talks about the eternity of us, our soul. Our soul is so, precious to the Lord that Jesus laid his life down willingly for each one of us. Each unique person that's on this earth, no one else is like you. They might look like you, they might even talk like you, but they're not you, unless you've been cloned recently. It also even tries to let the young people know. You know, a lot of kids now, a lot of our youth today are being indoctrinated with a way of thinking that really sometimes can't even be a strategy developed that try to win them to Christ, because they like the world is getting to the point where anyone that's a Christian is seen as someone who has lost their mind. They say that one of the ways to determine whether a person is sane is whether they talk to people who are invisible. And when you talk to God, you're talking to someone who has decided not to let himself be seen. He's a spirit, but he can develop our eyes that we could see him. But he wants us to know we can see him when we see Christ Jesus, that Christ is a perfect reflection of who he is, to let us know how God would act if he was living down here on this earth, what he would do, what he would say. And he's trying to teach us how to be able to live the way Christ did, by faith and through trust, and through asking for wisdom and seeking knowledge. But our young people just can't fathom that because it seems it's too philosophical for them to place their lives upon. Here it says, in verse 9, it says also, young people again, enjoy your youth, be happy while you are still young. Do what you want to do and follow your heart's desire. A youth at that time was considered up to 42. You was a youth. Now they think up to 72. I don't know. I'm sorry. But remember that God is going to judge you for whatever you do. You know, you will reap what you sow. There is a checks and balances. There is a sin debt, as the Indians say. There's all these things, and somebody has to pay that debt because it's sin. Sin means falling short of God's glory. And you know who God's glory is? God's glory is Jesus Christ. None of us match up to him. So I can always compare myself to somebody else in the church. The knuckleheads, the hard heads, the people who put on the mask, they come to church on Sunday and act like they are a follower of Christ. And on Monday, Well, Sunday evening, they acting like something else. So anyway, I could easily compare myself and say I'm a wonderful, great Christian believer, a servant of God. But when I stand next to Christ, oh boy, I'm just in awe of his perfection and his completion and his compassion. And I don't match up. I'm falling short of his glory. And then, it's talking about young people, then the part that I got to seeing and saying, whoa, that's coming to life more and more as I look at it. It's talking about the old folks. Don't get mad. In California, everybody thinks they're young, but you do get old eventually. He says, so in 12, in verse 1, it says this, is a chapter I love. He says, so remember your creator, Elohim. Remember him. Remember the Lord, Lord God, Yahweh. Remember him. While you are still young, before those dismal days and years come when you will say, I don't enjoy life. Now just a chapter back, you say, enjoy life. Enjoy when you don't have arthritis, you wake up and you can't get your nose open because you got so much stuff in it. You got problems trying to comb your hair that's no longer there. You have problems with your eyes. You can see out of one, you can't see out of the other. Then you got to get something else, some more glasses. More glasses. I mean, verse 2 says, when the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars will grow dim for you, and the rain clouds will never pass away. Wow. Can't even see. You get old. Oh boy, I tell you, my eyes start getting crazy. You know, when you, sometimes you're young, then your arms that are protected you will tremble, and your legs now strong will grow weak. Your teeth will be too few to chew your food, and your eyes too dim to see clearly. Well, now they got some ways of fixing that up. You can get some implants now, so that's a change. I'm trying to find some things that's changed. Okay. For your ears will be deaf to the noise of the street. Why do people got hearing aids and they don't never turn them up? I don't understand that. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm talking about all of us. We all going into this domain if the Lord should tarry, if he should tarry. You will barely be able to hear the mill as it grinds or music as it plays. But even so, songbird will wake you from sleep. You will be afraid of high places, yep. And walking will be dangerous, yep. Your hair will turn white, well. You will hardly be able to drag yourself alone, and all desire will be gone. Oh, have mercy. I seen a whole lot of guys, and I thought we were the same age, but they look so much younger than me. Well, they shave off their beard, they shave off their hair, and I said, wow, man, they look good. And when I told my wife, I said, I wanted to shave off my hair, she said, y'all heard that, right? She said nothing. So anyway, guys, you know what? You got to have joy when you read God's book, because it does help us to know that this is a ball of confusion. It is, but God's got some ways for us to deal with it and understand he's got some precautions and some strategies on how we can deal with this place until he returns. I got 2 minutes. I want to go to John 17 real quick, and I think you'll like this, and I like it myself. John 17, and why I'm talking about it is because I'm saying that the Lord wants us to have, even though we live in this crazy earth and with all these things that contradict one another, the beauty of the earth. I mean, we will not go and see the ocean. It's just unbelievable how lovely it is. But there's some other spiritual things that we got to deal with. And God wants you to know that he gave us a weapon and some things that we need to make sure we take advantage of. And that is, he told us in prayer, he said this, he says, I'm telling you the truth. This is 17, John 17:23. I'm telling you the truth. The Father will give you whatever you ask Him in my name. 24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your happiness may be complete. This is a changeover. Jesus is getting ready to go to be with the Father, but he's showing them, he's trying to let them know how his power source, and his power source is trusting in the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. And knowing that in Matthew 7, he said, you need to go to you when you seek the Lord, you need to ask him. You need to seek him, and you need to knock, keep knocking until he does what you are asking him to do. In other words, you need spiritual tenacity. You can't quit. Don't quit on God. You need, some people say, oh, Pastor, that's just, you know, come on now. That's no longer, you know. He's going to give me whatever I need. Well, I tell you one thing. If you have spiritual tenacity, one of the things you need to pray for, the first thing you pray for is patience. And people say, oh, no, I'm not going to pray for patience. But once I pray for patience, everything started happening. But if you seek God and pray and keep on praying and keep on praying for patience, keep on praying for patience, and stuff keep on happening, keep on happening, eventually you're going to have patience. And that's the same thing with all the rest of the fruit that you need to pray for. So on this journey, sometimes we just can't understand why it's so rough for us, you know. But God wants you to know this. Keep up. When you're a youth, you can fly, you know, like an eagle. When you get to adult age, you can run. When you get old, you can walk. But just don't quit until the Lord returns. Don't quit on it. Amen? And listen to the fat lady sings. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these blessings. Amen.